The independent inquiry into child sex abuse, which was set up by the government in 2015 to look into continuous failures to protect the victims by the nation's institutions and organisations, has finished its work. But the final findings, which came out at the end of last year, were startling. 20 recommendations sent to the government to make sure that widespread inaction on abuse could never happen the same way again. Recommendations went all the way from public awareness campaigns to a registration of care staff in children's homes and creating a minister for children.
But months later, and the Home Office stands accused of near total inaction. We've been speaking with the inquiry's chair, Alexis Jay. I started this morning by asking her which of her recommendations she fears will fall by the wayside.
We are worried about nearly everyone, not quite of the 20 further recommendations we made in the final report. For example, the creation of a child protection agency. They describe this as being accepted, but of course, whatever it is, not for the creation of a separate child protection agency. It is simply saying we're already doing this under the banner of something else. For example, a guarantee of specialist therapeutic support for child victims of sexual abuse. There's a great deal of difficulty at the moment in this area, and the research shows that the closer to the experience of sexual abuse a child has, that they get therapeutic support, and the less likely they are to experience the devastating impact in later life. Now, there's no argument about this, but the response was a general statement about victim support for child and adult victims, and no acknowledgement of the weaknesses in the present system, and just saying, well, we'll review it. Now, we have spent years reviewing this issue, absolutely years.
And you've written to the Times, you've explained that you've spoken to the Home Office. I understand that you've written to the Home Office. What has the response been so far from the government?
I have written, not formally to the Home Office, but I and others have had conversations with them. I actually made some practical proposals that I thought they could implement, but I've had no response. And these include, I understand we are in the position that parliamentary time is going to be fairly limited for primary legislation between now and the next election. That's a reality. But there are things they can do under secondary legislation now, or indeed without any legislation, that would be in the gift of the Prime Minister to proceed with. And whilst this would not be the ideal situation, it might give a little more hope or encouragement to victims who are shocked at the lack of response from government. Also, they could make a manifesto commitment to address the primary legislation issues in the first parliament, should this government be in a position to do so, in other words, if they were re-elected. But there's nothing. I have made these proposals. They are far from ideal, but at least it would be an indicator that they could do something. For example, creating a minister for children could be done right now.
And just finally, we've been speaking to Charlie Taylor this morning about the state of prisons in this country. And one of the interesting things that he was saying is that often, you know, people don't think it's important. It's not happening to them. They don't know anybody in prison. They don't really care about it as an issue. And therefore, the government doesn't give it perhaps as much attention as other things. Is that what you're concerned about here? Do you think that's happening with this particular issue too? And what's your message to the government?
I don't think it's similar, but certainly not the same. But the reasons why this is an unspoken subject are more complex than why people don't take the same interest in those, in quotes, undeserving who are in prison. This is different because it concerns the most intimate and complex of issues that are is a huge culturally unspoken subject, the sexual abuse of children by adults. I have absolutely no doubts about that, and we need to open all of that up, and that's always been one of the themes for the inquiry, including, I should say, the use of language and describing actually what these areas are comprising, it's not just, as someone described it to me, just a bit of fumbling. It is not. It has lifelong impacts on children who, the average length of time from our victim analysis was of 6,000 people who came to us voluntarily was 26 years before they disclosed to anyone. This is a huge issue. It all needs to be exposed and opened up. I don't believe that there's no public support for it at all. I think it's simply not a priority of the government.
Can I just ask you, there's a story in most of the newspapers today. We are covering it on the programme today too. It is relating to a BBC presenter who has not been named but is said to be a household name, who's been accused of paying a teenager for explicit photographs. Yeah. The teenager is now slightly older, but at the time was 17 years old.
Yes.
This young person's mother, very, very shocked, very upset by what she had discovered. What are your thoughts on that particular case?
It is not at this point being described as contact abuse, but over the internet or whatever form it's taking. Now, I don't know about that, but some people think this is a victimless crime, and absolutely is not. Anything that's online facilitated sexual abuse of children is the most grievous of crimes as well. And of course, it should not be minimised. And people in positions of prominence should never use that as, first of all, a means of grooming, and secondly, a means of protecting themselves. So it must be taken seriously as a crime of the worst order.
Alexis Jay, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Alexis Jay, the chair of the Independent Inquiry into Child Sexual Abuse, speaking to Kate.